Good afternoon. I'm just trying to piece together the 15 pubs in 15 counties that I did on my August Grand Tour. It's quite complicated, especially when you're getting near to the county boundaries, because I managed to find in half a mile on one straight road, I found Northamptonshire, Leicestershire, and Rutland, and within that half mile, I managed to get two pubs. The one in Rutland was somewhat further away. It was just north of Rutland Water, and it was called the Twisted Trout at a place called Empingham. And it was particularly remarkable because within the village, there's a couple do brewing in their garage, apparently. And their Electric Lady 5%, very hoppy pale ale, and they're called Baker's Dozen. Those beers are a regular at the Twisted Trout, Twout, to the Twisted, no, the Twisted Trout. Quite a tricky one, that one. And that was one of the best beers I've ever tasted. And the day before I'd had, or it might have been 2 days before, I'd had a copper ale. It was less than 4% actually by Palmer's of 230 years of brewing in Dorset. So I'd like to find out more about that brewer. And that was the other really, really top beer of the tour. So, out of 15 counties, I can only actually, highlight two of the beers. But on the in-between day, I went to the Hook Norton Brewery in Hook Norton, that's right, which is in Banburyshire, as you know. And I purchased, I think, five or six different beers, five, I think. So there was an interesting, well, two of them were, they're brewed from oats, wheat, maize, and barley. And then another one is brewed from barley, wheat, and rye. But the one that I want to try right now is the very traditional. This is one of their oldest range. I've been drinking this beer from the brewery in bottles for well over 20 years. Right, it's a big, big favourite. I remember in 2006, I had a house in Rhyadr, middle of Wales, and I had a case of Haymaker then, and I remember the label was considerably different to what it is now. But the same picture is there nestling away on the label here today, and it's a 5% premium pale ale, and it says dark bronze, apple fruity hoppy, rich sweet and fruity, like sunshine dancing on the tongue. So let's pour this one and see if we can get a little bit of sunshine dancing on the tongue. And I'm just going to give you some tasting notes, because if I had to say, what is the best pale ale in Britain, I would always just by default say Haymaker. So going back a week or two and casting my taste palette back to the Electric Landlady, okay, let's see how the fairly traditional, quite old brew Haymaker stands up towards these really, really new wave IPAs coming in barrel loads indeed. So Hook Norton is a traditional Victorian tower brewery. And they've got a whole, new wave of crazy things like their low alcohol lock steady and the oat sour and a really cool Crafty Fox Black IPA. But they're nowhere near the type of totally new wave brews like the Hop House McCann's at Buggleston, just near Tenterden in Kent. They're just taking the thing away, completely. So Hook Norton are a blend of very traditional brews, some newer brews to appeal to the new tastes, but essentially it's all kept within the concept of the fact that the brewery has been there since 1849, and the present brewer, I think, is the great great grandson, something like that. Let's have a look at the back of the thingy. Great great grandson, J.W. Clark, of John Harris, the founder of Hook Norton Brewery. sorry. Haymaker is a strong pale ale of distinctive taste, best served lightly chilled, which I have. Plenty of Goulding's hops give it a certain something extra, like sunshine dancing on the tongue. Cheers. And it says barley, malt, and hops. So that's what I mean by traditional. They weren't at a stage 20 odd years ago of messing around with wheat and so on. And that wheat has started to make its way, into the beers of the Midlands. And I just don't like that trend. Let's keep it to barley and hops, for goodness sake. We don't need wheat. That's, we just don't need wheat in beer. But anyway, so what I've got here is a, lovely, incredibly, almost orange dark blonde. Right, it's a beautiful pale ale tending towards these sort of orange dark wheat looks, and just it smells comfortably yeasty on the nose. I probably chilled it just a bit too much to be able to, really pick out the best of what it has to offer, but it is obviously one that's, particularly brewed for the summer months, and I will always tend to have it very well chilled. I'm just gonna taste it a couple more times because, is it exactly the same beer that I was drinking 20 years ago? What other beers was I drinking 20 years ago? What were my expectations of beer 20 years ago? I think that the big brewers like Whitbread were still brewing 20 years ago, but they've completely gone. Whitbread don't brew anything anymore. We've lost, dozens of big, huge, well-known conglomerate brewers. But on the positive side, we now have about 1,800 brewers in Britain, and you rarely see a lot of them except at hop festivals and so on. So there's a hop festival on at Faversham, which is Britain's oldest brewing town, and I hope to get up there. The Elephant Pub is supposed to be the one. But there's goodness knows how many pubs. But yeah, I hope to get up there in the autumn. But if I happen to be coming across country and going through the Cotswolds, Hook Norton is an absolute must. There's no question of driving anywhere past it, So. All these comparisons are going through my memory, my mind, and my taste palate as I taste this one because I taste a great many beers, both from bottle and draft at the pubs, and nowadays on tap at, at brewers as well. I went to the Wantson Brewery, which was incredibly fascinating. I had two draft beers and two on the tap, and they were all pale ales. And to look at, they were all very similar, but to taste, they were extraordinarily different. The number of beers you taste over the years, it becomes like an artist's palette or one of those charts that you get for paint, the type that B&Q or Wickes might hand out. And if you get a kid's set of coloured pencils, you've got a red, a yellow, an orange, a green, a blue, a brown, a purple, yeah? But if you get one of these charts or an incredible artist's palette, is it palette? No, that's what you taste. Palette? I no, that's one of those things you put goods on. I don't know. One of those sorts of things that you dab paint into. You get these myriad of shades, don't you, between orange and yellow. And so the world of beer is essentially black going to a very pale, almost champagne-esque colour, and of course champagne's so many different colours these days. And within that, you're going to have your dark browns, your light browns, tending towards red, tending towards orange, and then coming down all the way through your sort of wheat colours, and anything that might be called an IPA, a pale ale, a session ale, or whatever. And so this one is tending towards the beginnings of the light brown and orange. But it's still essentially, pretty kind of yellow without being even vaguely yellow. Do you know? So what I'm doing is I'm casting my mind now to all of the beers that I've had in the recent years, which would be on this part of the artist palette or the, the paint choices. In order to have a really interesting sort of comparison of how has beer, expanded in these 20 years. One of the interesting beers I had, I wouldn't go and have it again, but it was called a cow pale by some sort of dairy brewers, very local to Salisbury. So it was the Radnor Arms in Odstock, just below Salisbury. And that was very similar in looks to this one, but just didn't really have the taste. But I mean, arguably it's the time of day and how cool it is, and it was okay, but it wasn't very special. Whereas the Wantsum beers were very special. So without further ado, let's crack on and decide. I'm going to do two things: how it used to taste and how it now tastes. Okay, so going on the how it used to taste and why I thought it was the best beer in the country 20 years ago. I mean, it's hugely deep and interlayered. It works fantastically, incredibly chilled from the fridge. There's just 20 years ago, there was not another contender in this particular sort of category of beers that I could even begin to think of in the Midlands, or I wasn't probably so aware of the Kent beers, only a little bit through Shepherd Neame. Can't think of any Shepherd Neame beer they've ever done that's a really decent pale ale. I just don't think they've ever really tried. And so, and I didn't know things like Proper Job from Cornwall. Don't even know if it existed. So this was one of the very few and perhaps quite new pale ales that was just beginning to creep out of the woodwork. Before that, you'd had these copper ales, which were a light brown orange colour, and that's like the one I had from Palmer's in Dorset. But you can tell that I'm not only very, very into localities of beers. I will actually go to the locality to have the beer on situ as near to the brewery as possible. I'll also buy some from the brewery and have them at home from the bottle. And I just like to visit so much of the country and try out all sorts of different beers. And in one sitting, I might have a pale ale and a stout or a chestnut beer or whatever. So essentially, there are only two types of beer. There's ale, anything brewed from the ale yeast, and then lager, anything brewed from the lager yeast. So every single beer, from stout down to your pale ales, is actually ale. So sweeping across an intensely, immensely vast range of beers that I've tasted, recently. This one, I mean, it works so well chilled, so it stands up totally against all of the really new wave, any IPAs and these crazy things like the Voodoo or the You Know When You've Been Mangoed, all of those. I think I could easily drink it at the hop and it would stand on its own totally above even at their very best. It would just stand totally on its own against all of the beers that Wantsum do, and they really are excellent. Everyone agrees, Wantsum beers. You don't get a bad beer from Wantsum. And you get a good many. So 20 years and goodness knows how many hundreds of beers later, it stands alone. And I know I've talked a lot, but I wanted to give you the depth and impression that this is a king of beers. This is an unparalleled trendsetter that is capable of holding its own over two or more decades, no matter what the beer world introduces. Ladies and gentlemen, Hook Norton Brewery Haymaker Premium Pale Ale 5%. That is British brewing history in a glass. It's got huge depth. It's got a really rugged but not too astounding hoppy bite, right? It just shows that you take something simple, just Golding's hops and barley, you know, some their own artesian well, spring water, their own yeast, and they still take all the barrels to the local pubs around their area by two shy horses and a dray. This is Britain at its finest. You are drinking a slice of not only British history, British brewing, but what it is to be British, and that's what we need to be focused on, concentrating. That's what we want, concentrated Britishness. You won't find a beer like this across the continent. You know, the best the world can offer you really is Budweiser. And that would just be pants against this. I don't even consider drinking it on the same day. If you haven't tried this one, you need to. This is like, you know, making a pilgrimage to Canterbury if you're, you know, an Anglican or something like that. There isn't a beer superior to this, the length and breadth of Britain. This has got it all. This has got the oomph to make your chest rise. You know, it's gonna get you getting that axe out and chopping logs. And by the time you've chopped all the logs, you'll still be ruggedly wanting to chop something else. You know, someone's head off, probably. So woe betide any tax collectors that come out. It's the kind of beer that puts a bit of Britishness into you, for goodness sake, you know. I find this incredible because, you know, I really remember the summer in Rioja where I was drinking these, and I'd gone out, you know, I don't know how far it is, but over 100 miles I would have thought, to get to the brewery, and I brought them back, and here I am, you know, years later, done so much in my life, same beer, this time I'm in Kent. Summer's about as lousy as it was then. It's absolutely astonishing. You know, two decades, but not a day has passed since that summer and this. And this beer hasn't lost its way one L. It's got a touch of marmalade, but a huge stack of toasted bread. It's got a bit of suet pudding in there. It's almost got the crunch of a bright apple. It's got barley fields. It's got, you know, a fine day of haymaking in there. It's got a bit of Shire horse dollop. It's a standalone beer. It's the best beer in Britain, as far as I'm concerned. So that's why I've taken so long. Talked and talked, not giving you a lot of information, but hopefully I've given you a picture of how dedicated I am to discovering brewing excellence and the new waves of different styles of beer. But with, you know, real pertinence on the best of the traditional beers. I mean, one of our local beer breweries, which is comparative here, is Harveys of Lewis, and in fact I'm drinking the beer out of their glass today, but they don't do anything that would parallel this. Nobody does. So get yourself to Hook Norton. You're in for a treat, I'll tell you what. If you like the Cotswolds, if you hate the Cotswolds, you're just gonna love Hook Norton. And make sure you go for the Haymaker, but there's plenty of other fantastic beers there as well. And you might well like the Red Rye and the Crafty Fox. They're excellent, but there's plenty of other seasonal ones knocking around, and of course their flagship beer is Old Hookie. So go down, grab yourself a mini pin.